what is going on this week. Setting the agenda, we're joined by Marcus Mabry, Associate National Editor for our partner, The New York Times. Marcus, this week is going to be all about what?
It's going to be all about chaos.
Chaos. Thank you for that, Marcus Mabry, The New York Times. And Charlie Herman, Economics Editor for The Takeaway and WNYC Radio. Charlie, this week's going to be about, in your view, what?
Stumbling along.
Stumbling chaos. I like that. So it sounds like an album title. All right, let's begin with you, Marcus. We just heard there in the newscast the settlement freeze has expired.
Yep.
The talks at this point continue. How much of a pins and needles game is being played in the Middle East policy over at the White House, do you think?
Well, you know, as soon as the moratorium on settlement building ended, we saw kind of concrete being poured almost immediately. So the message on the ground was really clear. It was that there was not a political will to move forward with any kind of peace dealings. Washington has been pushing this agenda, and Washington has said over and over again that they think the time is propitious actually now to actually have forward movement. But that's been very little evidence of that on the ground.
Hmm. Does chaos figure into your calculation, or does your calculation of chaos have something to do with this story that's leading the news this morning of NATO strikes inside Pakistan, chasing insurgents in the Afghanistan war?
Well, at least as far as it goes in South Asia, at least, the goal here is to actually inflict a little greater chaos so you may, in fact, hope to bring order later on. Between the offensive in Kandahar, trying to get rid of the Taliban in the west and south of the city, as well as, pursuing folks over the border. The goal here is to actually impose order where there has been none before, because previously both the military efforts and the diplomatic efforts have fallen far short of actually restoring any stability to that region.
Meanwhile, tension going forward on the U.S.-Pakistani relationship, but there's no news there, that's for sure.
No, nothing new, at least.
Charlie, so let's talk a little bit about the Obama initiative. This week he's going to go talk to the middle class, the political significance to that, but economically speaking, who's he going to find out there in the middle class?
He's going to find a lot of people that are still, as we know, are unemployed or have seen their home values continue to drop or having just difficulty in this economic environment. Or even if they are getting along okay, the consumer confidence and just the state of the economy is really poor. So he's going to find a very dissatisfied electorate.
So a stumbling economy, president looking for positive signs and maybe going to be hearing some anger from the middle class.
Yeah, and also a stumbling along in terms of trying to come up with new proposals. Mm. Today, the president is expected to sign the small business get program that was approved last week by Congress. But there are so many other proposals he has out there, in particular this battle over tax cuts extensions that most likely will not get through Congress this week before it adjourns. And let's point out, Congress is stumbling along. October 1st is the start of the fiscal year. October 1st is when the government is supposed to be funded. A lot of people may say, well, what does Congress do anyway? When we saw when there was a government shutdown back in 95, 96, that was disastrous. And there's even a couple people out on the fringes who are talking again about, could there be a benefit of a government shutdown? But Congress is stumbling along and has not even approved money to keep the government going.
Benefit possibly for the Democrats who are looking for any sort of positive news electorally. And they found it in California, Marcus. Mm-hmm. All the politicians are going to be watching the debate between Meg Whitman and Jerry Brown at the University of California, Davis, which takes place this week. But the polls out suggest that Meg Whitman, even though she spent a king's ransom on that race, is still behind Jerry Brown, and Barbara Boxer is even leading over Carly Fiorina in the Senate race.
That's right. The Senate race, the Republicans, I think, really are disheartened by those numbers because Boxer right now looks pretty in pretty safe territory. And remember, this is one of the shortest campaign seasons, general election campaign seasons ever. So we're only 5 weeks out from elections right now. The Whitman numbers are surprising that she doesn't have, hasn't gotten any lead really out of the margin of error above Brown, because she's spent, a record number, record amount already, and she's going to keep spending more. She'll probably double what she's already spent.
Double 100. She spent $119 million.
Yeah. That's right. She got 5 weeks left, and she's going to have to. She could easily spend double that.
She's good for it, too. That's for sure.
That'll be good for the economy there, sort of. California's
own stimulus
package.
Exactly. Well, it'll be good for California media.
It's going to be a really hot election week, though, because we're going to see the president, today talking to college journalism students, and then tomorrow rallying in Madison at the University of Wisconsin.
Wisconsin again.
And then we've got this, the president will be, this week is going to be in states that are both important to win this year for the Democrats' gubernatorial races and Senate races, but also important for the president to get reelected in New Mexico, in Wisconsin, and in Iowa. But finally, on Saturday, there's this progressive march, 300 liberal groups from the NAACP to liberal religious groups, to the AFL-CIO, to La Raza, to the Gay and Lesbian Task Force, all marching in Washington, hoping to be an answer to the Glenn Beck rallies.
It's going to be interesting to see
if they can get their base alive.
Will it be noise and chaos, or will there be some sort of definitive result here? Let's shift gears for a moment. Listen to this. Bishop Eddie Long, leader of the New Birth Missionary Baptist Church in Georgia, one of the country's largest, most powerful black churches, responded to allegations essentially from the pulpit on Sunday that he took advantage of four teenage men.
I have never in my life portrayed myself as a perfect man, but I am not the man that's being portrayed on the television.
Marcus, Bishop Eddie Long says he's going to fight. He's under attack. He will win this. How does this play out?
Well, you know, talking about chaos, I mean, you said there, John, he'd responded, but actually he didn't respond. He didn't answer, at least directly, to the allegations. And some of his congregants, and this is a massive, massive mega church, an African-American mega church, actually saw that he didn't respond. And then they're waiting to hear what he actually has to say about the charges and the merits of the charges. So far, we're talking about possibility of corruption. That's what these allegations really come down to. Power, which he has a great deal of,
indeed,
and corruption. And whether it's in the Capitol or it's in the pulpit, that's the question we're asking now.
Really quickly, does it spill over and taint the other black churches, or is it just about Long?
It's just about Long and this massive power, because he really is almost sui generis. He's almost a case in and of himself.
Charlie Herman, stats this week we should watch for.
GDP.
On?
Looking to be about 1.6% unchanged. Economy going along, stumbling along.
Stumbling along. Stumbling chaos. And from our band, Marcus Mabry on drums and Charlie Herman on electric guitar, economics editor for The Takeaway and WNYC Radio. Marcus Mabry, of course, from The New York Times. There's your
singer
agenda. Yeah, there we go. Nice duet, guys.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.